Masechet Megillah, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Vav. We'll continue talking about the different Torah readings on different special days. Mishnah says, "BaHanukkah, BaNesiim." On Hanukkah, we read from the Torah portion that talks about all the different offerings or the gifts, the korbanot brought by the Nesiim, the princes of each shevet, when the Mishkan was being dedicated in the times of the Midbar. It's a appropriate reading because on Hanukkah, we rededicated the Beit HaMikdash after the Greeks destroyed it. And we're reading about the initial first dedication of the Mizbeach in the times of the Midbar by those Nesi'im. Bapurim by Yavo Amalek. On Purim, we read the story of Amalek coming to attack the Jewish people. It's connected to Purim because Haman HaRasha, Haman the Wicked, came from Amalek and he tried to destroy the Jewish people as well. On Rosh Chodesh, we read the Torah portion that talks about the new moon. The new moon, we talk about here, the korbanot that have to be brought on Rosh Chodesh, Bama'amadot, the Ma'amad service, which we mentioned in Mishnah Dalid. Technically, every member of the Jewish people has to be at the korbanot that happened on behalf of the whole Jewish people, the Korban Tamid, for example, it's being brought for the whole nation. Halacha is, the law is, when people have a Korban being brought on their behalf, they have to be present. So, obviously, we can't do that. You can't have every member of the Jewish people present for every single Korban. So, we have certain different people who were designated to be a group, 24 different groups of people who served as the representatives of the whole Jewish people. If they were close to Yerushalayim, they would come to the Korban. If they were far from Yerushalayim, they would stand there and they would pray in their hometown for the acceptance of the Korban. So at that gathering, they would read B'Ma'aseh Bereshit. They would read from the creation story, from the beginning of Sefer Bereshit. And this is appropriate because the whole idea of the Korbanot is that the world can't stand without them. As we know, we say, Al Shlosha Devarim Ha'olam Ha'omed, Al Torah, Val Ha'avodah, Val Gemilut Hasadim. The world stands on three things. On, because of the Torah, because of the Avodah, which is the Korbanot, and because of Gemilut Hasadim, which is Chesed. Beta'aniyot, Berachot, Uklalot. On fast days, we read from the Tochacha, the blessings and the curses that we find in Sefer Vayikra. It talks about how Hashem gives reward to those people who do the commandments, and He also punishes those who don't do the commandments of Hashem. We read this on a fast day to inspire the people to do a little bit better and to end the galut, which was the reason that we have the fast in the first place. Now we'll talk about those kelalot. En mafsikin ba kelalot ela ehad kore et kulan. We don't interrupt the reading of the curses to give out different aliyot to different people, to two different readers. Rather, one person reads all of the pisukim together with no interruption. The reason is we want to sort of get it over with. We don't want to lengthen the amount of time we're spending within these curses. We want to read it once and move on from it. We want to show that these are all going to be over very quickly and we're not going to have to deal with any of this because the Jewish people are going to follow the ways of Hashem. Bashini ubahamishi ubashabbat baminha korin kesidran. On Monday, on Thursday, and on Shabbat afternoon during Minha time, we read the regular portion of the upcoming week. So Monday and Thursday, we read what's going to be on that following Shabbat. And then Saturday night during Minha, what we read here is the portion that's going to be read 7 days later on the following Shabbat. V'en olin lahem minha hashbon. These readings don't count towards the required total readings that we have. The Monday, Thursday, and Shabbat Minha reading don't count towards the obligation to read the entire Torah. They have to be read again, of course, on Shabbat morning. The synagogue, the minyan, is obligated to read the entire parasha. This doesn't count for that. We just went through the different readings that we read on all the different special occasions of the Jewish people. Now we'll talk about the regular requirement to read the Torah on the holidays. Shene Emar, it said when the Torah talks about all the holidays, Vaydaber Moshe et Moadei Adonai el Bnei Israel. Moshe spoke about the holidays of Hashem to the children of Israel. Mitzvatan sheyehu korin kol ehad ve'ehad bizmano. We learn from this pasuk that it's a mitzvah to read every one of these pisukim during its appropriate time, during the actual holiday that we fall out on. Masechet Megillah, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Aleph. So after last Perek, where we discussed the specifics of what we read on each holiday or each day, this Perek is coming to teach us the Seder HaKelia, what actually happens during Kelia and all the halachot associated with it. Since this Perek is mainly associated with Purim and Megillah, we're going to start off with the laws of Keliat Megillah and then progress into Sefer Torah. So the Mishnah says, HaKoret HaMegillah Omed VeYoshev. Somebody who's reading the Megillah is allowed to stand or to sit, as opposed to the Keliat Sefer Torah, which always has to be done while standing. Kira'a Ehad, Kira'u HaShenayim Yatze'u. Whether one person read it or whether two people read it at the same time where both of their voices were being heard, Yatze'u, they fulfill their obligation. As opposed to Sefer Torah, where you're only allowed to have one person read. The Bar Tenura brings down the reason that the Gemara talks about, and he says, "Velo amrina shnei kolot en nishma'in ke'ehad dekeva nehaviva lehud yahabed da'atayu." Well, we don't say, "Oh, you can't have two people read the Megillah at once because you can't hear two different voices." Because he says, when you have something that's haviva, when you have something that's beloved to a person, when he enjoys this mitzvah, he'll make sure to focus very much, and he'll be able to understand the reading, even though two people are reading it. In a place that has a custom to say the beracha, they say it. In a place that does not have the custom to say the beracha, they do not say it. So this is only talking about the beracha at the end of the Megillah, haravet ribenu. But we know kol ha-mitzvot she-mevarech alehen oved la-asiyatan, all the mitzvot that we perform have to have a beracha beforehand, not afterwards. The beracha comes beforehand. So the three berachot that come before Kiryat Megillah, Al Mikra Megillah, She'asan Nisim, and She'ehayanu, have to be said. It's not a bad custom. Automatically, everyone who does this mitzvah has to say those berachot. This is opposed to Kiryat Sefer Torah, where it's not a bad custom. We say a beracha beforehand, and we say a beracha at the end. We're going to talk about in a second what type of berachot and how that halakha has evolved. Mishnah continues and says, Bashini u'bahamishi u'bashabbat b'mincha, Korin Shelosha, En Pohatin Mehen, Ve'en Mosifin Alehen. He talks about on the Monday, on the Thursday, and on Shabbat Mincha, three Olim go up, three people get an Aliyah. We're not allowed to take away from those three, and we're not allowed to add to those three. They bring down the reason, and Rashi brings down the reason. He says the reason that we're not allowed to add any Aliyot is because it's Monday and Thursday are work days. People have to leave Beit HaKnesset and get to work. So it's not respectful to make them lose time where they're supposed to be working. And on Shabbat Mincha, we don't add more than three olim because it's samuch l'hashecha. It's late at night. And we need to make sure to finish praying Mincha by Shekia, by nightfall. Another halakha that the Ramban brings down is amongst these three olim, we have to have a minimum of 10 pisukim read. So, and as well, there's another halakha that you have to have three pisukim at least with each ole. So you end up with a minimum of 3, 3, and 4. It's possible that you'll have more of them, depending on how each parasha starts and ends, because we want to make sure to open each aliyah at the right place and not in the middle of a topic. Mishnah also told us, ve'en maftirin banavi. We have no haftarah on the Monday, Thursday, and the Shabbat Mincha readings. The Mishnah finishes off and tells us, ha-poteach ve'achotem ba-torah, mevarech lefaneha ul'ahareha. The poteach, the first person to go up for an aliyah, he makes a beracha beforehand, asher bahar bar mekol ha'amim. And then the hotem, the person to go up last, all the way at the end of the aliyot, finishes off the Torah with a beracha after its finish. But anyone in the middle would not say any berachot. Only the first person going up would say one beracha, and the last person going up would say the last beracha. And that was the custom during the times of the Mishnah. But later on, Hachamim came and they made a takana that every single ole has to make a beracha beforehand, asher bahar banu, and a beracha afterwards, asher natan lanu torato torat emet. The reason for the takana is for people who did not stay for the entire time in Beit HaKnesset. If somebody came in the beginning and they saw one person say an opening beracha, and then they left in the middle and they didn't see a beracha at the end, they would think that there's no beracha in the end. And the same thing the opposite way. If somebody came late to Beit HaKnesset and they only saw a person saying a beracha at the end of all of the aliyot, and they didn't see anything happening in the beginning because they weren't there, they would only think that there's a beracha at the end and not in the beginning. So Hachamim made a takana, they said everyone who goes up for an aliyah has to say beracha beforehand and afterwards.